Well, we turn now in God's Word to Psalm 126, which Fiona read for us before, and our summer Bible studies. If you have a Bible to hand, it will help you and me if you would turn there. If you're using the Church Bible, I think it's on page 623, the Blue Church Bible, or thereabouts. 623, if you're not familiar with finding your way around the Bible. As we turn to God's Word, we're going to pray. I'll give thanks to God for the offering we've just taken up and for this wonderful offering, His Word to us. Father God, we thank You for Your Word, for Your Word is truth. We thank You that You grant to us the privilege of knowing in part Your mind, Your will, Your plan for us. We acknowledge that if this is just us reading, we might get it wrong. Indeed, if this is just me speaking, then there's no point in us being here. But if, God, the Holy Spirit, You come again, as You have on so many occasions and in so many places, and You interpret Your Word to us, then, Father, we might know the mind of God. Oh, please, help us indeed to know Your mind and Your will today. Come, Holy Spirit, and give us understanding. We thank You, our Father, also, that we are rich in many worldly ways as well, material ways, time, and gifts. We turn these things back to You now. In token, we have taken up an offering. Use it for Your glory. Use us for Your glory, we pray. Amen. Well, as I say, if you can have your Bible open at Psalm 126, that will be helpful. And over the last few weeks, we have been following the Israelites on pilgrimage. I imagine some of you feel you might have made a pilgrimage to be here today. I understand, Jonathan, Claudia, you flew in last night or early this morning, only from Switzerland, admittedly, but it's quite a journey to be here. Some of you may have made long journeys that I'm not aware of, but the folks that we are reading about made a long journey. And they sang songs and psalms on the way. They travelled on foot and by donkey. And on three occasions during their year, they went up to Jerusalem for a great festival, a great party. Perhaps young people, you sometimes go at Christmas to a far-flung part of your family. And you don't always enjoy it, if you're like me. When I was a youngster, I didn't always enjoy it. But there was a great journey involved to get there. I know some of you can tell stories about presents and roof boxes and things like that, and presents and forgetting them and leaving them behind and not having done the washing before you go or whatever. There's all sorts of things that go on in pilgrimage. Try and get those pictures in your head as we think. These people have been on pilgrimage. Perhaps some of you have longed to be somewhere else, and perhaps you've even had the chance to go and you finally arrived. I wonder some of you who've reached retirement age, I often hear people say, I've always longed to go, and now I have the chance. And some of you may have been to your dream location, your dream city, now that you've worked hard and arguably earned the opportunity to go there. Well, as we come to this psalm this morning, this is where the pilgrims are. They've been on the journey with all the trials and the troubles and the ups and the downs and the goods and the bads, and they've got to the place they've been dreaming of, the place they've hoped to get to. And young people, perhaps grandma has met you with your favourite tiffin or sweet or something. That was always my favourite when we went to St Anne's on Sea. Perhaps those of you who've only seen pictures of that gorgeous destination on the other side of the world, you walked there and you know you felt the heat and you smelt the smells and you heard the noises, all those things that the picture can't tell you. You're there. As we come to this Psalm 126 this morning, we're there. The pilgrims have arrived. They are in God's holy city. Look at verse 1. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, they're there. They've arrived. They have made it to their destination. In the holy city, they are struck with all the wonderful things that they are reminded of in their case. when you go to Jerusalem, or when you went to Jerusalem in those days as a good Jew, you would have been reminded of all that God had done for you and for your people. It was the place where the records were held. You could go and check your lineage back in history. You could see the great temple, whichever one it was you were able to look at. You were reminded of the times when God had rescued this very city. Now, what brings to our mind the first visitors to Jerusalem may well have thought of, we can't be precise, but they may well have thought of the day in Nehemiah and Ezra's day when people came back from that 70-year captivity in Babylonia. And then they had that rebuilding of the temple and that great celebration. They may have been reminded of the day in 705 BC when the great Sennacherib brought his army and they laid siege to Jerusalem. And you can go and read about it in 2 Kings 19, but overnight God said, it's not going to end this way. And Sennacherib is sent home, not by anything the Israelites, the Jewish folk had done that were in the city, but because God so ordained that his city would survive that day. They're amazed. They're struck by what God has done for his people. But let us look at this work that the Lord has done for his people. Because in the second half of verse 1, we are reminded that we were like men who dreamed. It's God's work alone. Our first verse tells us, often in the experience of God's people, it's God's work alone. We are left on the sideline, if you will. All that is left for us to do is to give voice, great voice of joy to what he has done. Indeed, in verse 2, it's not just God's people who give voice. The nations themselves see what has happened and they say, God has done a great thing. If you look back in the history of revivals in this country, I've read a book recently about the 1921 revival here on the east coast of this country. It was in the national press. It was written up in the national press. What's going on over there? And they started talking about Christian things and about evangelical reawakening and all of that. You know, the most important way that you or I can experience this is in salvation. Each and every one of us today who is a believer knows full well that we did nothing to arrange our rescue from sin. God did it. He chose us. He called us. Jesus Christ did it. He died for us with our sin on his shoulders. God the Holy Spirit did it. He revealed all this truth to us and drew us to Jesus Christ and drew us to the Father. And what joy results whenever we see God's people being obedient to him. We're having a great celebration today. We're having food after this and a party because Ian and Carleen today are following what God wants and dedicating themselves and little Isaac to the Lord. But every believer has done this if they have been through the waters of baptism and declared to God that they are, and declared to the people that they are God's. I wonder if you've thought about this. I wonder if you're trying to do it in your own strength or whether you are letting go and letting God in your life. Will he be the king of your life? That was the title of our holiday Bible club, Knights of the King. And we've been challenged to let go and let God be the king in our lives. I've asked Jonathan and Claudia if they'll come and, where are you guys? Come and explain to us a little bit of your work and how something that you've experienced illustrates this point. God at work and us on the sideline. Come on all the way up here. That's it.
That's our family. We've been living in China since 2005. We have also have twins. It seems to go with the Mathers joined us in Xining, the place we're now. We also have twins. So our two oldest, Kian and Kiara, they're twins. And then Timon, he's six. He's our youngest. Huh? Yeah. Go on to the next picture. Okay, go on. Okay. So just for people to know a bit where we are, you might know that the green arrows are Beijing, Shanghai, and Hong Kong. Those are a bit more well known. But actually, if you look, we are living in the center of China. It's considered to be the west of China. Can you go on? You might know Tibet. That's that province on the south there. And then go on. And Xinjiang, that's where we have a lot of unrest with the Uyghurs and so on. And then go on. And then that's Qinghai. That's the province, the place we work. Go on. And it's on this Qinghai Tibetan high plateau. Can continue. And so this is Xining, the city we live at. It's on an elevation of about 2,200 meters, so it's quite high. The city is about 2.5 million people. Nobody really knows. And so the province we live in, there's a lot of different people and minorities. The majority still are Han Chinese, the normal Chinese. There's Tibetans, that's the biggest minority. There's Hui, those are Chinese Muslims. There's Mongolian, there's Salar, they speak sort of a Turkish language, so they're related. There's Tu, and so on. So there's a lot of minorities there. Claude and I, we are both doctors. This is the hospital we work at. It's the same hospital where Caroline also worked as an ENT surgeon. It's the Qinghai Red Cross Hospital. It's a public hospital. It has nothing to do with the International Red Cross. That's just the name. My wife is an obstetrician gynecologist. She mainly works in obstetrics and also neonatology with the small babies. I'm a surgeon. I mainly do pediatric surgery and pediatric orthopedic surgery. Yeah.
Okay, next one.
Okay, so we want to share this story with you about Dr. Ur and his wife. They are Tibetans, and they live 12 hours by car away from Xining and work in a small hospital there. And Jonathan went there twice to help out for a week at that hospital and do some training. So that's how he got to know them, and he even stayed during the 1 week he stayed at this family's house. When he was there, he really tried to share some of his beliefs in the Lord Jesus, but felt their life was completely taken up by Tibetan Buddhism. It's so everywhere. Old women would sit there the whole day with their prayer meals and their rose beads, and that's their life, the prayer flags. And down on the left, we see a woman going around the whole of Qinghai Lake, which is the biggest lake in China, prostrating herself, getting up, prostrating herself again. And they do this over days just to make merit for the next life. And even though this religion is very very popular in the West, we find there is a lot of darkness and fear really in people's lives. Okay, so this is Dr. Ru's son. He had two girls before, and his wife came. She had had two previous C-sections, came to our hospital, not knowing her date so well. Baby was already big, but she had diabetes. I said, let's wait. And we waited more than a week, and then she went into labor, and the baby was more than 8 pounds, so we thought, okay, it should be term now, and did the C-section. But the baby came out, actually we realized it was still a premature baby with very immature lungs, which has to do with the diabetes. Baby had to be on the ventilator. But even though we gave surfactants and the maximum ventilation, the baby deteriorated. And for hours, the baby was on a saturation of 50% with 100% oxygen. That's a disaster. And Jonathan told the family, I don't think your son will make it. But that very week, we had a professor from England who was with us for some training, and she said, let's go and pray over this boy. And so we went into the NICU and really laid hand on this baby and anointed this baby in the name of Jesus. And we were heartbroken because we knew that family so well and their son was going to die. And so we asked the Lord for healing. And I said, Lord, if this child survived, would you please also heal this baby's brain? Because several hours on low saturation is not very helpful for brain development. And the miracle did happen. Within 3 hours, the baby sets were up to 90%. And after a few days, we could wean the baby from the ventilator. Next picture. And so later, before really it was impossible to share with this family, and later they came to our house and we shared with them how we have prayed over this child and how this was for us really a miracle from the Lord that their son was alive. And the baby came 3 months later also for assessment neurologically. And you can see he's an alert boy, and we couldn't find any abnormalities. So it was sowing with tears, and really the result is a lot of joy, thanks to the Lord.
Thank you guys very much. And that leads us on to the second half of the psalm, which we'll just think about very briefly. But can I encourage you, when we have coffee and if you're staying for lunch afterwards, do talk to Jonathan and Claudia and find out more about their work. Turn with me your Bibles to the second half of the psalm, and we'll just pick up what we've been thinking about. In verse 3, the psalmist records that another voice speaks, another joyous voice joins in with the pilgrims who've come to Jerusalem and says, the Lord has done great things for us and we are filled with joy. This is the joy of knowing that God is at work. And the restoration is restated in verse 4. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. And that is a restoration which comes every year. As you know, deserts often are flooded at a time of monsoon rain. And the picture is of a regular but infrequent, if you will, restoration. The restoration of the work of the Lord amongst his people. And this time it's not in the past. It also looks to the future. It says, come again as you have come in the past. Lord God, will you restore people? Will you restore us? Will you restore Jerusalem as you have in the past? God's people, inspired by the memory of who he is and what he has done, pray for more of the same. That's what sets us apart. We hope for the future. We pray not that there will be more babies with difficulties who need healing, but when there are more babies with difficulties who need healing, that God will intervene and that they will be saved. So verses 5 and 6 say, a period of tearful sowing, yet we know we will reap with joy, for God is on our side, and that is how we must pray. The work of the gospel is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a work that one drip at a time builds up a stalactite or a stalagmite. Claudia, Jonathan, come and tell us a little more about how we can pray for you in the future, what perhaps we can look forward to.
Okay. These are the doctors, the young doctors I work together closest with. They are trained as pediatric surgeons, and Dr. Wama on the very right hand side, I'm training him basically as a pediatric orthopedic surgeon. He's a Tibetan, and yeah, we've shared with these people a lot about Jesus before, and often you can't just go and tell them, but you can go on. But we can have parties. For instance, Christmas. This was last Christmas. They ate so much meat, it was unbelievable. They always like meat. When we asked them, should we cook something special for them, they always said, just cook meat. So, yeah. So and one guy actually, because they know we really like real Christmas trees, so he actually got one. He probably stole it somewhere because it's not officially allowed. So, but we had great fun. And actually on that evening, we just sang carols. We could share about why Jesus came, why he died, what's the real reason for Christmas. Yeah. So about 2 years ago, I suddenly realized, he's a very joyful guy. He wasn't doing well. He was very downcast and everything. And I asked him, what's wrong? And he told me, last Monday, I had an appointment for my divorce. And you made me work that day because I was on night shift the night before, and normally in the afternoon I'm off. And I also had an appointment with my wife and at the civil office for my divorce. In China, it's very easy to get a divorce if both the wife and the husband are agreeable. They can just sign and it's done. So they had a divorce last Monday, and they couldn't do it because I had told them, we have too many patients, you must work this afternoon. I was grateful. And I talked to him. I said, well, he has a son. At that time, his son was half a year old.
I said, you should, I mean, don't do a divorce. That's, can't you try to get together again? I really encouraged him. We talked about what love is and stuff. And so he said, yeah, I'll give it another try. And things seemed to be better again. And I talked to him and he said, yeah, things are much better. But then about half a year later, a few months later, I really saw he wasn't doing well again. And he told me, it's just not working. We are really getting divorced now. We've moved apart, we've separated, and yeah, it's not working. Yeah, okay.
Okay. So we invited them to our house to speak again about their marriage, and only the husband came. Go on to the next picture.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked, what are the problems in your marriage? And he said, it's communication and difficulties with in-laws. And we said, well, but this can be solved, and you can learn how to communicate well. These are skills we can learn. So we've never done anything like this before because we are doctors and not counselors, but we could find a copy of the Alpha Marriage course in Chinese and invited them to their house, and together we did this course. It was good for our marriage too, we realized. I was just such a joy to see them, to first feel the tension between them and see this tension really melt and see them start to talk to each other. You always have to do these exercises where you talk through different things, and how they started to communicate. And each time they seemed friendlier to each other, and finally really it all melted down and they said, no, we want to move back together, and they did. And we have now the skills that we need to carry on, and we are so glad you saved our marriage. And this was last this year. This year, Jonathan's birthday party, they came together hand in hand and were singing this song to each other, "You're the love of my life." And yeah, so this was just so beautiful to see. And they're really on our hearts. They showed some interest also in Christianity when we shared with them. Right now, his father is dying of lung cancer, and this involves a lot of Buddhist ceremonies. So yeah, we just continue to love them and pray for them, that the Lord will continue to speak to their hearts.
Thank you so much. It's difficult to hear of successes which are part way, and how there are still hard times to come, perhaps, for him. And we will pray with you. Can you remind us, how do we say their names? Dr.
Van Ma.
Van Ma. Van Ma.
Van
Ma. Did you all hear that? Because you all know my skills with languages, all right? So, but we will pray for them, and hopefully in the future we will hear of good news. Thank you so much. We've just done our holiday club, and we don't know how those young people are going to respond to the Bible stories and the gospel message that we shared with them. Perhaps we've sown seeds which will come to fruit and harvest in years and years ahead. This psalm teaches us, I think, that God's work is two things. I want to leave you with just two thoughts as we close. God's work is like instant coffee, okay? God's work is like instant coffee. You don't have to do any grinding, any brewing, any waiting. But it's not cheap instant coffee. In fact, it's better than the best coffee you can buy, brewed and ground and prepared properly, because God does all the work and gives us of his best. God's work is the best instant coffee you could possibly have. That's the first half of the psalm. And the second half of the psalm is this. You know when a stalagmite has dripped and a stalactite has... Have I got those the right way around? Stalagmite has grown and a stalactite has dripped, and they've come together in the middle, and some caver finds that new cave and turns a light on it, and there is the most gorgeous pillar of this rock which has been made up, and all sorts of crystals and wonderful things are trapped in it. How long did that take to form? God's work is like that beautiful pillar that he has taken time to fashion. Let's remember these two things this morning. God's work is like instant coffee, but the best. God's work is like that beautiful pillar that he is building over time, using you and me, involving us in building a pillar of matchless beauty. Be inspired by what we know God has done. Be inspired to get involved in his building work.